We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Pelé leaned in and said something to Freddie.
Don't let them change you. Keep working on what makes you different and what makes you special. It was great advice, but it caused me some problems.
But what could change Freddie Adu?
Soccer is going to explode, and it's going to be around this kid.
We were the Beatles. Everywhere we went, it was the Freddie Show.
And with that came the expectation, and with that came the pressure.
New episodes of American Prodigy drop Tuesdays from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Welcome to the Fantasy Football Report, a RotoViz radio news show covering the serious and mocking the ridiculous NFL news of the last week. I'm Blair Andrews. My co-host is Hassan Rahim. Hassan, how's it going?
Oh, man. It goes the same. This was just a kind of a rough week, even when it feels like you're winning, you're kind of losing just because of how poor in quality the afternoon games were. But I'm really excited. We actually have a guest this week.
That's right. We have an excellent guest joining us today. With us today is Matt Jones. He's the host of the On the Daily podcast, a featured DFS writer here at RotoViz as well. He is also a contributor to Bet the Prop and Sharp Football. You can follow him on Twitter if you aren't already at Matt Jones TFR. Matt, thanks for joining us. How's it going?
It's going. I'm sitting here watching the Chiefs game. And it's nice to record with a actual football game going on. We do On the Daily on Wednesday nights, so I'm usually just sitting here staring at my monitor. So it's a pleasure to join you guys because this is one of my first listens each week. So I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely, yeah. It's really good to get you on, get your take on some of these news items. We can just jump right into the first one. Baker Mayfield completed 25 of 33 passes for 334 yards and 4 touchdowns in the Titans 41-35 week 13 win. Sorry, the Browns 41-35 week 13 win against the Titans. So Matt, do you think Mayfield will close out this season strong? And what are you expecting for the offense as a whole down the stretch?
Yeah, I mean, as good as this performance was, I feel like it's not really what they like want to do. So, they're second from the bottom of the league in neutral script pass rate. So, like, you're already talking about a team that doesn't really want to throw that much in the first place. And they're going to play Baltimore, the Giants, the Jets, and the Eagles down the stretch. Seems like they'll be ahead probably pretty easily in at least two of those games, probably three. And then it just depends, like, if Baltimore is back from quarantine or whatever by then. So yeah, I mean, I don't really have that high of hopes. I don't think he's necessarily going to be, I mean, he's obviously not doing this every week, but I'm a little hesitant to feel like overly confident in him moving forward, just because I don't think the game script or the philosophy is going to lead to this game, this type of game, that often.
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I mean, the thing about like Baker, at least in this game, was he could have had like 500 plus yards. He looked really good, just sort of rolling out, hitting these open receivers. Keep in mind, most of his receivers are really poor, and I include Jarvis Landry in that caliber as well. I don't think he's anything that's a transcendent and transcendental playmaker. He's getting, I mean, a lot of that yardage, a chunk yardage came on this one long Donovan Peoples-Jones touchdown. Now, if you don't know who Donovan Peoples-Jones is, it doesn't matter. Like I said, just not very good. It's a supporting wide receiver talent. This is a team that loves running the football. And it's actually interesting because it's really like, you know, on one hand, we were told it's DeHember. And on the other hand, you're seeing what a kind of a game flow dependent sort of hammer back can do in Nick Chubb, right? Like Chubb is Derrick Henry, maybe better pass catching abilities, but like, you know, I mean, you're really comparing like really minutia there. But, you know, so you're getting to see what Chubb can do, at least when given a lead. And man, it's genuinely kind of fun to watch if you enjoy that kind of stuff, or at least watching, you know, a guy make these ridiculous plays on the ground, just from an athleticism standpoint. Baker, in my opinion, has always kind of been good. It's just the way the he's kind of forced into, at the very least, playing through a more quote unquote pro style offense, where as opposed to this hair on fire type of play, which makes it fun. As someone who had like Baker Mayfield, Austin Hooper, Derrick Henry stacks, I am not a particularly happy guy because, as I mentioned, only Baker was the one that went off, and Derrick Henry today, not that great. Matt, out of curiosity here, like, what do you think? Will you ever consider Nick Chubb to be a cash viable running back, or what are we doing here?
I mean, I think he probably, I considered him this week. I, of course, decided that it was imperative to just smash in Cook, Henry, and Eckler into the same lineup. For my cash team, that is, I don't even know if I hit triple digits, to be completely honest. So maybe I'm not the best person to ask this question, but, yeah, I mean, I think that he can be, it really is, it's pretty price dependent, and he's probably at the top of my, comfortability as far as that goes. Like if he, you know, if he's 7,500 or pushes into 8K, like I don't think you can because of the lack of receiving work, most weeks. But I do think, that if he sort of stays in that low 7K range, depending on the rest of the slate, I do think that he should be in consideration for DFS just every single week. Regardless of if it's DraftKings, or I would imagine that you would have to say that he's a better play on FanDuel, but, that's just, who knows what to do on FanDuel. If any of you have seen the Sunday Millionaire winner, apparently you could just do whatever the hell you want on FanDuel. So
wait, what website is that? FanDuel? I've never heard of it. Is it new?
Brand new.
Yeah, no, the thing that's like really, at least from my perspective, that I really need to get my head wrapped around is where, this has been, I mean, a really, really tough year, from a running back perspective, or at least figuring out what the right salary range is, right? It's not like what we had for the last couple of years where you really just wanted to cram in CMC and Saquon and all these guys who you know are getting like, you know, 5 to 6 targets in the passing game, and then they're getting like 30 touches a game. Like, Henry doesn't fit that bill, right? Even in like positive script, right? Like you really are hoping that he's going to be this dude that can just run through a brick wall. And I guess Chubb doesn't have that appeal either because they just go to Hunt, right? But meanwhile, Hunt's in this like ridiculous salary range and he's always been priced up all week to where you just don't want to put him in any lineups. And even from a season long or dynasty perspective, I have zero interest in Hunt, like really as a start. Like I just, you don't know when to really start him and he doesn't get you anything.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like Hunt, they don't know what to do. They don't know what to do with his price, on DraftKings. Like it's been all over the map. Obviously, when Chubb wasn't there, he just slots in at Chubb's price. But, even like now that Chubb is back, he's gone, you know, he swings like $1,200 up and down in salary every single week. Like they just have no idea what to do with him. And, I don't really ever see a situation where I like absolutely, feel like I need to get him in. Like a couple weeks ago, he was 6,700. And that was with Chubb in the lineup. And now he was 5,400. Like, and next week, who the hell knows? Like he could be 6,100 and Chubb could be 6,800 and people are going to play Hunt for some reason. I don't know. I think that that's just that kind of, what, you know, archetype or whatever is just somebody that I will always stay away from in DFS, especially.
Yeah. I'm definitely with you there, especially on a price sensitivity standpoint. And here's another guy who's been priced up pretty much all year, finally coming through today. Major flop lag from last week. Darren Waller got 13 of 17 targets for 200 yards and two touchdowns in the Raiders' week 13 win over the Jets. You know, he's become the sixth tight end in NFL history to ever do this. And this is, you know, a career high game for him. But it's also, you know, the best fantasy performance at the tight end position all season long. And this, despite the fact that we've got Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, you know, what are your expectations for Darren Waller for the rest of the season? And, you know, just in general, the Raiders' passing attack. What are your thoughts there?
As far as Waller goes, like he's a guy that I, it's well documented that I do not ever get him right. Was all over him when he had like 6 points, last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. And now, of course, I just couldn't possibly find the salary to get to him. And, you know, he has a historical output. Like tight end is obviously garbage, like all over the place. Like there haven't been many weeks where it made sense to pay up for tight end in DFS. And in general, it's like, who are you playing on your, think about your season long team right now. Who are you playing at tight end? And it's probably one of a group of like 15 guys who are going to score the same exact amount of points every single week. And it's, there's just not really a ton, that's exciting about playing tight ends right now. I'm actually curious where would this game rank like by itself against like tight end results? I feel like it would be like a tight end two somewhere compared to everybody. Like he probably scored more points today than like Zach Ertz had, all year so far, or like definitely more than like Irv Smith. He literally just, single-handedly climbed up the tight end leaderboard. As far as like the rest of the season, this is sort of another situation where, like compared to Cleveland, like they don't really feel, they don't really want to throw that much. I don't want to get these, you know, these inconsistent pieces of these super small pies and try to figure it out. Like the wide receiver situation is just a mess. Waller himself sort of lives in that like 6 to 8 target range most of the time, which for a tight end is great, especially this year. But he's definitely, you know, he's definitely all over the place too. Like he has stinkers in him on a very regular basis. So I don't really like you're happy for the ceiling plays that you get from him, but you also have to be ready for, you know, like the 6.7 points from a couple weeks ago or whatever it was.
Yeah.
I'm just.
Sorry, you were saying?
I was just looking at at the strength of schedule streaming app, pulling up tight ends here and noticing that Kansas City has one of the hardest schedules coming up over the next 3 weeks for tight ends, like the third hardest. I'm wondering, Las Vegas is kind of in the middle, top 12-ish. I'm wondering whether you would potentially have Waller ahead of Kelsey rest of season.
I mean, I think that I'm trying to phrase this. I think that the most likely situation is that Kelsey finds a way regardless of the matchups that he's facing. I think that at the same time, I also think that it's a lot closer, than I probably would have thought it would be, say like 2 weeks ago or something, if that makes sense. You know, like that gap is definitely closer now than it was, but I still think, just by virtue of the offense in general, just the way that they, the way that the Chiefs can string these touchdowns together. And, you know, you look at Las Vegas and you see a game like last week where there's just nothing going on. I am very curious. I wish we could like go in an alternate reality for today and like see if Jacobs plays like what that game looked like. Not that like, I'm not saying that like Jacobs, like, you know, one target a game is impacting that, but just like from a game, game planning perspective, I feel like that game doesn't happen. I don't think that he gets 17 targets in a game, that Jacobs is active.
Yeah, and I'm genuinely with you. Also, what was helping, I mean, really drive this was the fact that they were getting the piss beaten out of them by the New York Football Jets, right? Like the Jets scored quite, like they were leading at various points in this game, which, for those of you not following at home, the Jets were 0-11 coming into this, and Oakland will be damned if they're gonna go 1-11. So, you know, they got to do something. And this is kind of, I mean, like, given how bad Derek Carr looked last week, right? Like, he didn't really look all that good for most of the game either until, like, the end. It is interesting watching Henry Ruggs coming on a little bit. They still gave 11 targets to Nelson Agholor, who turned that into 4 receptions for 38 yards. So, I mean, man, that's a Nelson Agholor stat line right there. But, yeah, do you think, you know, Henry Ruggs, for example, is someone that you have any interest in season long, you know, in redraft, as someone to pick up as a end of the bench type of flyer for game environments that could be potential shootouts for the Raiders, and especially during the playoffs?
I mean, sure, I don't know. Like, he's still only got 4 targets today. Like, he's gonna have these games, but like how much you want to be relying on that now that we're in the fantasy playoffs is probably I'm hoping that you have better options, and I'm assuming that, you know, people that are listening to this show probably have pretty strong receiver cores, so I'm hoping that nobody's having to do this. You know, like he's rostered in my like main leagues. I don't think I would have picked him up if I saw him on the waivers this week, even though I just lost Fuller and had Godwin on a bye in my main team. So I would really like, you know, if we were sitting here and he saw Aguilar's target share, then sure. But I think you're just relying on that big play, which he's obviously proven that he can make, but it's not something that I'm willing to put in a starting lineup in the fantasy playoffs.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, he'll have these games like this, but even if you did pick him up, it would be hard to feel confident starting him in any week. Because you wouldn't have predicted this sort of game script today, even with Jacobs out, I think.
Yeah, like he hasn't even, I just pulled it up, he hasn't even had a wide receiver one perform. I mean, I guess in week five, he probably was like wide receiver 13. So I guess that's kind of like cheating a little bit, but it's, you know, the last 6 weeks, he hasn't had double digit fantasy points. So I think that maybe there's a situation where that role grows and he could maybe be pretty useful next year. I wouldn't see myself slotting him into any of my lineups right now.
All right, before we get into our game this week, let's take a moment to hear a word from our sponsors. 2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. 73% of online job seekers in the U.S. visit Indeed each month, according to ComScore. So it's clear Indeed can help you get the quality hire you need. That's why more than 3 million businesses worldwide use Indeed for hiring. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Terms and conditions apply. And we're going to be playing Fantasy Believe It or Not. Hassan, you want to remind us of the rules for this game?
Yeah, but we're so close to the end, it doesn't matter where their real positional finish is. So usually it would be whether they finish as a wide receiver 2, running back 2, tight end 1 or better. Or quarterback 1, but you know, we're so close, the results are pretty much in. Points don't matter anymore.
Let's say playoff wide receiver 2, playoff running back 2 or something. That, like next 3 weeks.
That'd be a good way to put it. So I guess that's the spin we're doing on it now.
All right, playoff fantasy, believe it or not. First item up, Jonathan Taylor rushed 13 items for 91 yards in the Colts week 13 win over the Texans, adding 3 receptions for 44 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I mean, they made this effort to get him involved, and then he unfortunately had to miss the game last week. But yeah, I think what's the threshold? An RB2, I think for sure. Over the next few weeks, I think he'll definitely be there. They clearly want to involve him, and they're going to be playing. You know, over the next few weeks, they're going to be playing in probably similar game scripts. I don't really see a situation necessarily where they're, you know, either just completely blowing somebody out or getting blown out. I think they are going to play in close games, and that's going to necessitate him being on the field.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I mean, you could honestly pencil him in for like a running back 1 rest of the season, I think, for the playoffs, if only because 3 targets in like a game that was pretty close fought is pretty good for a rookie, you know, who for a very long time just looked completely at sea, right? So it's interesting. It's also exciting to see Hines remain involved even around the goal line. I guess the team's finally realizing that you know, throwing to guys like Jack Doyle and Zach Pascal is just not getting it done. Right?
Yeah. If you're a Taylor owner, are you worried, though, about Hines getting that carry at the five-yard line?
Yeah. You have to be, right? Like, every time you're running back, at least the guy who you thought was going to be an every down, you know, pretty much high leverage touch guy is ceding work to however tall and big Nyheim Hines is. Like, you know, it's just he's a pretty small dude if I remember correctly, and he's also not that fast from a game perspective. His timed 40 was pretty impressive, but for some reason he looked slower on the field. You know, it should be a little concerning, but and this is a team that really is hurting for any form of playmaking talent, and the fact that you know, Hines is getting it done is exciting, right? Like, what do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I think that Taylor probably has a good 30 pounds on Hines. Would be my conservative estimate. Yeah, I mean, that's definitely frustrating. I saw that Hines had scored the touchdown, but I don't know necessarily the situation. I wasn't watching that game. You know, that led to him getting that carry, but it seems like they don't really, they didn't really involve Wilkins much, which is probably the better sign. Like, there's always going to be another running back around. But I think that if he's taking over more of that other role, I think Taylor's going to be just fine.
Tua Tagovailoa completed 26 of 39 passes for 296 yards and a touchdown in the Dolphins' Week 13 win over the Bengals.
Yeah, I mean, so I was just looking at their schedule through the rest of the playoffs. So they play the Chiefs next week, which will probably mean that they have to throw quite a bit, regardless of what their philosophy is. Then they play the Patriots, and then they play the Raiders. So we're not really, you know, we're not staring down the 85 Bears at any point down the stretch for him. It's again one of those situations where you probably already have a better option if you're still in, you know, if you're not eliminated yet. But I don't really see a reason why he couldn't at least be in the QB1 conversation through the next 3 weeks based on that schedule. I think that there's a good chance that that Chiefs game next week is pretty decent for him, and then you know, moving forward, I think that he should be fine. Like, the fact that he almost hit the bonus this week is great, and then he did this with only one touchdown. So if he could string a couple of touchdowns together, and they're not afraid. I don't know if you guys saw the game. They popped up on Red Zone a couple of times. They are not afraid to throw from the 2 yard line, on, you know, first or second or third on third and goal. They love throwing to Shaheen or some like random person you've never heard of, in the end zone. Like, they were not willing to let, Gaskin help me, earn American dollars today.
Yeah. A bit of a shame.
We should. Saying, I think we should talk about how Lynn Bowden had 4 targets in this game. Is he finally going to be a thing for the playoffs?
Well, I mean, he caught all 4 of them, which is a good sign. I mean, honestly, when you start looking through the actual receiver core for this squad, it's not good. Like, it's very not good, right? And we've discussed this before, but Devontae Parker is also very not good, right? Like, he's just not the kind of guy who... People need to readjust their priors on Parker downwards. Like, he was a very good prospect. It's just clear that who he was last year as like the sole target hog, as Fitzpatrick is his, you know, his 99th percentile outcome, realistically, in my opinion. Guys like Jakeem Grant, could probably be a little bit on notice here. I think if Bowden's coming on, I think he's going to be interesting. I don't know if I want to roster any of these guys, though. Tua seems to be pretty good at spreading the ball out a little bit. And I'm not going to lie, losing some of those Gaskin goal line looks was pretty tilting.
I mean, when you can run that stupid formation for the fake field goal, you just have to figure out a way to do it.
Against the Bengals of all teams who are playing some combination of Brandon Allen and Ryan Finley.
You just have to do it. You gotta find a way to burn that play in a game against a 2-win team for sure.
It's just, really, I am optimistic on Tua's longer term outlook. It's just, this team needs to focus on the other side of the ball. Like, you know, before the show, we were talking about this a little bit about the Browns, but these are two teams that have, you know, ostensibly very exciting quarterback prospects. And they're being just asked to throw to just, I don't know, man, just like randos. Right? Like they don't really have these like high quality NFL caliber, you know, alpha wideouts. It's a bit of a chicken and egg issue, right? But like, look, I mean, if you were a quarterback, you'd like to be throwing to any of these studly younger wide receivers and not have to look at, you know, Mac Hollins. Castaway from the Eagles, right? Like
yeah, I guess the Dolphins don't really have, like you said, they're not exactly loaded at wide receiver. So, you know, Devontae Parker, Jakeem Grant, it is a problem for sure.
Well, luckily they have like 17 first round picks coming up, so hopefully they can they can figure that out.
Marvin Jones caught 8 of 12 targets for 116 yards and a touchdown in week 13 against Chicago.
I mean, this has to be Hassan's favorite player, right? Like we all are well aware of the love that that Hassan has for Marvin Jones. if they're gonna have him Stafford throw the ball 40 times and Galladay isn't gonna be around, I mean. It's Jones and Hockenson, right? Like, we've seen Jones have these games before, but he literally has had 9 wide receiver 3 games this year. And, a lot of them have been ugly. I'm not totally willing to believe that this is just a thing that's going to keep happening. So I guess I don't really believe it. I think there's a good chance that he has one of these games in the playoffs, maybe, but I think that there's a very good chance that he has at least 2 just complete and utter duds, because I think that's just the nature of his role and him as a player in the year 2020.
Yeah, and I'm definitely with you on that. You know, left unsaid, at least in this news blurb, is the fact that Swift was also out for 3 of those 4 games. Right. You're just not getting, you know, a viable check down option in Swift. I mean, Kerryon Johnson saw 3 targets today. Adrian Peterson saw 1. How many, like, I mean, Swift probably sees like about that much, maybe a little bit more. They even gave Jamal Agnew like 2 targets, right?
Yeah. And he got stuffed on that end around. Yep. I don't know if you guys saw that, but that was pretty rough. He literally just could have twisted his body and he decided to try to run somebody over. And, you know, speaking of small gentlemen, Jamal Agnew is a tiny guy.
Yeah. He's like
not
5'10",
really the trucking,
right?
Type. Yeah.
he's like 5'10". 5'10", 190, and they switched him to running back. Just a brilliant decision.
Wait, he's literally Nyheim Hines. Like, they're the same size.
Yeah, like these are guys who would weigh more wet, right? Like, and even then, it's like nothing compared to like a real goal line back. But on Galladay, I'm just like interested in the fact, like, it's I mean, it is a lost season for Detroit, right? Like, this was just a big rivalry game against the Bears. Please, dear God, get one more win so I can at least book that Detroit Lions over 5.5 wins future that I played on like February of last year.
If they would have got rid of Patricia earlier, they probably would have cleared that already.
For sure, but like,
or if Swift didn't blow that one game, either way.
Oh yeah, that's right, the first one, yeah. but I mean, with Marvin Jones, I'm with you because it's like, he's like boom bust ish, right? But with Galladay back, he's just gonna slide back to in that like wide receiver two, wide receiver three role, and there might just not be enough work to go around. The only thing is, you know, much like Tua's schedule, like the Lions are playing the Packers, the Titans, and the Buccaneers. All three of those games, you could probably just see them trailing four, and I can also see myself not getting that win total over four. So this is all great.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at, you know, you figure Galladay comes back and he gets those 12 targets as the wide receiver one, and Hockenson still gets his 9. You're splitting up probably Cephas and Sanu's workload because Amendola is still going to see a few targets every week. And then, you know, you're in like that range that he's been in all year, that 5, maybe 6 targets. And then you're just praying for a touchdown, and that's not the best place to be.
Kiki QT got 8 of 9 targets for 141 yards in the Texans is week 13. Did they win? I can't tell. Week 13 loss to the Colts. I lost sight of the show sheet. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, no, they did lose. You know, just they seemed like they maybe had something put together in the beginning of the game, and then just kind of forgot how to score in the second half. But yeah, I mean, look, you're talking about a receiver for Deshaun Watson led offense. Like, I know Fuller's not there now, but I see this split going this way the rest of the season. Like, I think it's a pretty fair take to say he probably doesn't have a 64-yard reception and go for 141 every week. But, you know, even if you were to make that a more reasonable, sustainable, like longest catch of the day, you're still looking at, you know, 8 catches is nothing to sneeze at. And it's definitely, I think it's definitely doable with the way that their offense is structured. So that I would assume that definitely gets him into the wide receiver two conversation. You know, and if they decide that they don't want to throw the ball to Chad Hansen 7 times, he could even have a bigger role. Who knows?
I had no idea who this guy was, and I clicked on his like link, and I still don't know who he is.
He says it didn't clear anything up for you. He looks exactly.
Went to be on the Jets.
What was that?
Didn't he used to be on the Jets? He's someone who the Jets didn't want.
Yeah, but like he went to Cal, but he looks like literally every stereotypical like surfer guy you'd see in like the teen rom-coms from like, yeah, like the late 2000s, early 2000s.
I was just going to say, like, he looks exactly like you think a Chad Hansen would look.
This guy could be an extra on the OC, right?
Like, oh, for like, sure. He probably was.
Right? Like, what are we doing here? Why is he getting so many targets?
Does this performance with Kuti and Hansen, is it encouraging at all for, if you owners of Deshaun Watson down the stretch, that he's still putting up these yards? I mean, one thing, we have research from Fantasy Douche from years ago that talks about how, I think it's Fantasy Douche, but anyway, how yards and receptions are pretty replaceable, but touchdowns are hard to replace when the guy who's scoring them, the receiver who's scoring them, goes out. It's hard to find those elsewhere. So we kind of saw that today. I wonder what you make of this performance as it regards Watson's future.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not worried about Watson in general. Like the, if he's, you know, the yardage is there. I feel like the touchdowns will likely come. You figure he did add a rushing touchdown, on the ground, and David Johnson for some reason still exists. And he also, got a touchdown in this game. So, theoretically, and like I said before, like they just stopped scoring in the second half. Whether I'm sure some of that is on, Watson with the pick, with, you know, taking five sacks, whatever it is. But I think that, I would still feel very, very comfortable playing Watson, regardless of matchup or whatever else. I would definitely still be playing him.
Keenan Allen caught 5 of 11 passes for 48 scoreless yards in the Chargers' Week 13 loss to the Patriots.
Yeah, I mean, my red zone channel stopped working for some reason before the 4 o'clock game, so I was stuck watching the Giants the whole time in the afternoon. But just pulling up and just getting these alerts of like the Patriots winning 45-0 and you know, Herbert threw to it's got to be a dozen people got targets this week. Tyron Johnson got in there. Steven Anderson, KJ Hill, like you have to include these guys in your game plan for sure if you are Anthony Lynn. Yeah, I mean, he's going to keep getting these. He's never going to not see this number of targets, and he should do a ton more with them hopefully in the future. But he is somebody who you should be confidently playing. If only for the reason that like Herbert is going to throw 50 times a week, without exception. They only had 15 rush attempts, this week. Obviously they were in catch up mode, but I think even when things are a little tighter than a 45 point deficit, that he'll still be throwing quite a bit.
Yeah. I mean, the team got punched in the mouth, like on that first, like, special teams touchdown, and they never really recovered. Even before then, Anthony Lynn just looked completely lost at sea. Like he was just calling these like running plays, like on first and second and third. And he was just alternating between Eckler and Ballage, which is just, I mean, just a great way to waste time. And, you know, you really want to do that against the Patriots when because why not? Then they were giving Jalen Guyton targets. They were giving, you know, KJ Hill, Steven Anderson, you know, just a bunch of guys who you probably knew were in the NFL, but couldn't tell me that they paid for the Chargers, except for Jalen Guyton, I guess. But 7 targets, come on. I'm with you on Keenan. This was just a very disappointing outcome. Just a disappointing game all around for the Chargers, who really need to move on from Lynn. I mean, we've discussed this ad nauseum, but, and like Anthony Lynn's also saying that he confidently expects to be the head coach tomorrow, which, I don't know, buddy, you didn't really do any coaching. So in that regard, I'm also the head coach tomorrow.
I didn't see that he said that, but that sounds like it's not a good sign.
I mean, if somebody has to ask the question, right? Like,
right.
Yeah. But I mean, look, I mean, if this is what you're going to do, like, look, there's like guys who play Madden, like, and they run on first, second and third, and they're able to put up a lot of points on you. Right. And I know this because I've lost that way a lot. In Madden, and while also being like abused by like a, you know, a 12-year-old kid, like on the voice chat thing. So it's just, you know, all around a great experience. Anthony Lynn is absolutely not that 12-year-old kid that's stomping, curb stomping me. He's the guy who's out there like really honestly maximizing the loss probability for the Chargers. Like the guy just doesn't. I'm convinced he's living in a separate reality when he's watching these games, right? Like when he's calling these plays, there's no other explanation.
So what you're saying is you're the Anthony Lynn of Madden.
Yeah, I'm just, I don't even know what I am of Madden. I'm probably more like the Adam Gase of Madden.
There you go.
Cam Akers rushed 21 times for 72 yards and a touchdown, and he caught his lone target for 22 yards in the Rams' Week 13 win over the Cardinals.
Yeah, I mean, I think, God, I mean, I hope that this is something that we can start to rely on because, let's go with this first. I'm a little hesitant because I believe Henderson picked up a knee injury during this game and he really didn't see the field at all. He only looks like he got six opportunities during the game. And I think that if the Rams are willing to lean on Akers, I think that he's going to be he's going to be just fine through the playoffs. They can obviously score points. They're going to be in high scoring and positive scripts, I would say more often than not. I'm buying in on this. I think he's definitely could be a fringe RB1 through the playoffs.
All right, let's move on to regular news item number 3. Russell Wilson completed 27 of 43 passes for 263 yards and a touchdown and also an interception in the Seahawks 17-12 Week 13 loss against the Giants. The Seahawks offense looked lost against the Giants this week, who were starting Colt McCoy. Matt, what are your thoughts on this Seahawks offense for the rest of the season?
Yeah, I mean, just something has just gone horribly wrong here. Russell Wilson looks, I don't know if he looks like shell-shocked or, I don't know, he did not have, I mean, this is just like my dumb lizard brain, and like, I am not a film person, but because I was forced to watch this entire game by my cable provider, I got to see this whole thing in action, but he just looks like supremely nervous, which is probably a function of the offensive line to a certain extent. I don't know how they fix it. Like, he needs to be better. They need to stop throwing it to Carlos Hyde and DJ Dallas and Jacob Hollister. The fact that those three guys plus Disley and Moore accounted for like 50% of Russ Wilson's completions today is a travesty, and it's an assault on football as we know it. They should just be peppering Metcalf with targets, and they just like why are you not just throwing it to DK Metcalf? Like, you've seen what he can do. I don't understand. Like, he will fix all of these problems. There's no reason that he should go a close game like this and only have 8 targets. Like, if they give him 12 targets, they win this game. I'm thoroughly convinced of that.
Yeah,
it's interesting. It's not even like he was bad with his targets, right? I mean, he didn't score, but 80 yards on 8 targets. I mean, I think people thought coming into this game he had kind of a tough cornerback matchup, which is something that seems to maybe be a little meaningful for him. It's probably noise, but it was weird to see them not go his way more, for sure.
Wait, who Metcalf, like in a tough cornerback matchup?
I read that somewhere.
No, whoever wrote that's wrong. It's a really bad matchup for the cornerback, not for Metcalf.
Well, any matchup with Metcalf is bad for the cornerback, but
yeah, this is just the Seahawks as a coaching staff has been pretty vocal about reestablishing the run, which is always great when you want to hear, right? So I mean, the way I see Russell Wilson's season and like the fact that is, in my opinion, his MVP, why his MVP candidacy is completely faded. Well, frankly, it should be dead after this one. Is you know, he started the season off, he was like a tremendous chef. Now the goddamn pilot light on the stove is gone out, right? Like that's where we're at with this offense, right? I mean, it's kind of like Matt said, just like throw to DK Metcalf. I mean, just earlier we talked about Darren Waller and like how the Raiders just kept going to him. And the fact that the Seahawks just don't do that with Metcalf is just, it's mind blowing. 6 targets to Chris Carson and then and then three to DJ Dallas and Carlos Hyde, as if throwing to your running backs is the solution when you're trailing against the New York football Giants who are playing Colt McCoy. Yeah, I mean, like this, like it's legitimately wild to me. And again, like James Bradbury, he's the size of a toothpick compared to like DK Metcalf. Like these guys really, the Seahawks specifically, are incredibly bad when they trail by, you know, approximately a touchdown. They're so bad when they're forced to actually have to play catch up. And it just shows that, you know, Russ's brilliance really keeps them afloat in like the really hard times when they're forced to actually play against teams who kind of know how to play in coverage, like we talked about a little bit with the Giants earlier. This is, you know, it's a pretty big leak in their game. It's really, they really are going to need to hit some really strong variants, I think, to have a shot if they make it as, you know, into the Super Bowl, because they're going to be facing a pretty, you know, like the AFC is looking pretty tough. This could be a, you know, like if they have Super Bowl playoff dreams, they got to figure this stuff out now. I don't know.
Well, they get to face the Jets next week, so no better time to figure it out, I suppose.
Yeah, 35 carries for Chris Carson coming right up. Jalen Hurts completed 5 NFL passes for 109 yards and 1 touchdown and 1 interception. The Eagles' Week 13 loss against the Packers. You know, it just seems that the Eagles are done with Wentz, who hit the bench at the start of the third quarter. Matt, do you think that the Eagles are going to be using Hurts for the rest of the season? And if so, what's the outlook here for the Eagles' offense?
Well, Peterson was asked, Peterson was asked after the game, and he needs to go watch the tape to make a decision. So that shows you where Peterson is at right now. look, it's a very, very difficult situation for them because they are just going to be completely demolished if Carson Wentz can't figure it out from like a cap perspective, right? Like I was looking at it before, if for some reason they were to cut him, he's going to be like almost $60 million against the cap if they do it before June 1st. Like that's just, and if it's after, it's like only $25 million. The only thing that they could possibly do would be to trade him after June 1st in order to just not be completely bent over the cap. As far as the decision between Hurts and him, like, I mean, sure. Like, see what Hurts can do. Like, have fun. You're not going anywhere this year. You really know who Wentz is, right? Like, you've seen his ceiling. Now you've seen his floor, and you're going to have to decide, depending on what Hurts does over the next couple of weeks, if they give him a chance, you're going to have to make that decision at the end of the year. But I think it's a real mistake if they don't at least see, regardless of what you think about Hurts, you spent a pick on him. You need to see what he can do in a season that's like very obviously lost at this point.
Yeah, that's a good point. I think the NFC East is so bad that like the Giants are leading with a 5-7 record now.
Oh yeah.
And Colt McCoy.
Yeah. So it's not like the Eagles are mathematically eliminated or anything, but it's also not like with the way Wentz has been playing, going to Hurts is a downgrade. So, I mean, even if you think you're gonna reel off a couple wins here and make the playoffs, maybe Hurts gives you a better chance to do that anyway.
Yeah, for sure. So, I think they play the Saints next week. I think that's going to be rather ugly, and will probably sort of be the nail in the coffin. Like I said, I think that there are very obvious reasons to see what Hurts has. Like you said, if it does give them a boost, then great. Maybe they can, you know, win 3 of the last 4 and potentially, I don't know, what would that even put them at? Like, this is such a joke that the NFC East even gets a playoff team. Like, they maybe could go like 6-9-1 and win. Like, that's absurd.
I mean, the interesting thing, well, I'm not going to say interesting, it's just sadness all around. The fact that the Eagles are, by all accounts, healthy relative to the rest of these teams and losing is ridiculous. Right? You got one team that basically lost, let's see, Haskins gets benched, then you get Kyle Allen as an IR, and Alex Smith, a guy with no leg, comes back and he's winning games. You have Daniel Jones, who, you know, I mean, he's Daniel Jones, and Colt McCoy is winning games, and then you have like Dallas without Dak. I don't know, man. I was a fan of Hurst in college, but like the way he kind of ended up getting completely usurped by Tua, and then I think he also got usurped in Oklahoma by Kyler. I don't think he's a particularly great quarterback prospect. I'm just looking at the NFL draft and seeing who they selected Hurts ahead of. And there's a couple of guys here who went a little later who you would think that this team, you know, should have drafted, but I guess they didn't really want Denzel Mims or, you know, any of these guys. I mean, Denzel Mims specifically because of how late of a pick Hurts was. And I remember at the time, a lot of people were saying, well, you could potentially flip Hurts. You know, you don't even have to play him. You could potentially just sort of keep him. He's a good QB prospect. Maybe you could flip him for a first. I don't think so, man. Like, he did not look good, per se today. He, you know, they couldn't get anything going, outside of one big Greg Ward play. And even then, it's hard to tell if that was just the primary reason, because it was like, the opposing team was just in prevent. Like, the Packers were in prevent. They just didn't care. So I think that the Hurts pick is just going to go down as in a long series of draft pick mistakes the Eagles continue to make, right? Like, the only downside risk here is that, like, they won't even be able to recoup the second round for Hurts. You're going to end up with like a sixth if your dream was to really trade him. And I don't know how viable of a backup quarterback he is. He looked like he had zero chemistry with Miles Sanders, who's somehow now their primary offensive weapon. And that's kind of sad because he's not very good. And they really were using Jordan Howard ahead of him. What were your thoughts on that one, Matt? Like, this backfield, like, this entire offense is... It feels like it's irreparably broken to where like all parties need to just move on.
Yeah, I mean, there's literally no redeeming qualities here. Like, no matter what you're looking at with them, like, maybe, I don't know, like, who's even good? Like, which Eagles are good? And like, I don't know. I think they probably at this point will just need to blow it up in the off season if they can get anything out of Hurts down the stretch, and they wanna flip either him or Wentz, and then just start acquiring draft picks and hope that you make better decisions in the next crack that you get at this.
Given their history, my guess is no.
All right, well, that'll do it for this edition of the Fantasy Football Report. Please remember to rate and review the RotoViz Radio channel on Apple Podcasts. Special thanks once again to Matt Jones. You can follow him on Twitter at MattJonesTFR. For Hassan Rahim on Twitter at HRR5010. I'm Blair Andrews at Am I the Real Blair. Thanks for listening. The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You can get in on their season opening bonus today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Did you know a 2018 study showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual. When I was 4 months pregnant, I couldn't find a prenatal I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested for heavy metals, and recently earned the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. But don't just take my word for it. Get 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.